You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our 5 p.m. service. We are starting a brand new series called Church TM, Church Trademark. What we endeavor to do here in this new series that we have is that for the next 6 Sundays, including today, we will look at the blueprint of the church, meaning to say, we will look at the account of Luke, the book of Acts, of course, with regards to how the church basically started. And we will see some of the marks of the true church that we had back in the church in Jerusalem. We will soon realize that when we start talking about church, it's not just about programs and all of these things, or rather just simple missions that we do, but it's actually far more than that. So I hope we get to embrace that at the end of the 6th week of this series. Just for us to have a good grasp of this one, I think it would be safe for me to assume that every Filipino will determine if a Jollibee is authentic or not. You give a Filipino a chicken without a box, without label, each Filipino would know if this is Chicken Joy or Chicken Jizz. You know what I'm talking about? If you bring a Filipino to other nations and they see something like this, they know for a fact that this is not the real thing. It looks like Jollibee, but that's not the same Jollibee as the one we have back home. In fact, if you Google this later, that Joy Rulby right there, they offer one entire chicken. One entire chicken. So that's like one entire chicken for Chicken Joy. I think you can find those things in China. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because to a certain extent, that is what we're going to talk about. As we start talking about the start of the church, the blueprint of the church, we will soon find out if what we do in a church community or the churches around the world are authentic or genuine for that matter, or if I may say, the things that we're doing are actually biblical ones. So I'd like for us to turn our Bibles for a while to the book of Acts. We are in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 down to verse 47. It says here, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And they by day attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's go to verse 41. Verse 41 gives us a backdrop as to what's happening here. It says here, "So those who receive his word," we have a picture here that it was Peter was preaching. It says here, "Those who receive his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So what is the context of the story that we have here? We don't have time to cover all of this, but to provide a context for what we have here, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 41, we will see there what is being considered as perhaps the most perfect or probably the most powerful sermon of all time. This is the most perfect and powerful sermon of all time. This was the preaching of Peter right there at the Pentecost. Remember what happened during the Feast of the Pentecost? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and after that, they spoke in other tongues. After that, people thought they were drunk because there were Cretans there, Libyans there, Egyptians there. People thought they were drunk, so he stood up on a certain platform and started preaching to them. So if you look at the content of his preaching can be summarized in terms of content. You can study this later. In fact, I want you to study this. In terms of content, this is what we have. Peter started standing up and he started preaching, "Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ resurrected, Christ ascended, Christ exalted." And at the end of that, he offered everyone that the only salvation that you can have is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In short, Peter preached a powerful message, which is the gospel itself. At that very junction, Peter preached the gospel in its entirety. That was the preaching that was its highest apex, being the person and the work of Christ. So what was happening there was that, you know, he started preaching the gospel to them. Now, what you need to understand is every time we come together and every time there is a comprehensive presentation or preaching of the gospel, it always results in true conversion. So ibig sabihin po, posible po pala na sa isang simbahan, hindi po lahat saved. Posible po na 5 years ka na nag-church pero hindi ka pa rin pala Christian. But when we start preaching the gospel, something happens into our lives, amen? The preaching that Peter preached there, he didn't preach about what you commonly hear on YouTube. He didn't preach about wealth. He didn't preach about health. He didn't preach about prosperity. He didn't start talking about, you're going to have your best life now. It wasn't something like that. It was none of that. But he just started basically preaching the gospel. Here's what happens when you preach the gospel to your friends. Here's the result when you start preaching the gospel to your relatives, to your family members. It says here in verse 37, now when they heard this, the Bible says, what happened to them? They were cut to the heart. Has it ever occurred to you that someone was preaching here and parang gusto mong umiwas kasi feeling mo ikaw yung pinariringgan? Diba? Parang sobrang cut to the heart ka, parang duguan masyado. Pero duguan ka para ma-heal ka ni Lord. Amen? Alam niyo po, hindi po uncommon yan. Common po yan sa ating lahat. Even if I myself would sit under the preaching of someone, I feel like this person has read my journal. Because I feel like this pastor is always pertaining to my life. It happens to everyone. Whenever the gospel is preached, it will cut to the heart. It will open up a lot of things. Number one, most notably is, it will give you a picture of how wicked and evil and sinful you are. Lahat naman po tayo, every time you look at yourself in the mirror, maliban sa fact na magandang lalaki ka at magandang babae ka, behind that facade, behind that beautiful face, is a person who can be considered as the worst of all sinners. Do you agree with that? That you are the worst of all sinners? Importante po yun. Because if you always think that you are just a good person who attended church and you don't realize how sinful and evil you are, then you won't have any need for the gospel. You won't be coming before the presence of God and crying out for His mercy. So at the end of the day, I like what John Bonner said. He says, if you are a new Christian, he says, you have to study well to be acquainted with the natural wickedness of your own heart. You must not rest here for a sorrow for sin, as some vainly imagine will never atone for it, but cry earnestly to God whom you have offended for mercy and pardon. So doon po nag-start yung church. The church started because there was someone who preached the gospel, amen? The church started because someone preached the gospel and people were cut to dark. As a result, 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. Acts chapter 1 gives us a picture that before there was 3,000, there were just 120. So yung first, the fledgling or early church had 120 people in it. Victory Dumaguete is now 17 years old as a church. And I remember on the third year of this church, fourth year of the church, we were really praying, Lord, give us 100 people. Nagpe-pray talaga kami na mag-break kami ng 100 barrier. Tapos nagkaroon kami ng 120, 130, 150 people in this church. And we were really rejoicing to God for that. But come to think of this one, friends. Look at this one. Just by one preaching, 120 plus 3,000. Now there's 3,120 people in that early church. Amen? Who am I in faith to see 3,120 people in this church? Come on now. As of now, we have a few hundred people attending here, 1,300 to be exact. But we're praying God for quantity. Yes, we are praying God for quantity. But of course, together with that, we're also praying for quality. Ibig sabihin po, hindi po tayo satisfied na makakita ng Christians lang. Ang satisfaction natin is people are being discipled. Iba po yung Christian lang, iba po yung Christian na discipled. Let me just proceed. Here's what happened to this early church. I want you to imagine this, 3,120 of them. Wow, quite a number, right? They were doing something. It says here in verse 42, this 3,120 people in the church, they were devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. In the other translation, this is the ESV, I checked what the King James Version of this specific verse. It says here, they continued steadfastly. So if you start studying this word, I want us to pull out that word devoted first. Here's what it means. It says here, devoted simply means, or devoted or continued steadfastly simply means, in its original Greek is the word proskartereo. Proskartereo, which simply means to adhere closely. To adhere closely. Let me just illustrate that for a while. If you've been to zone 2, if you've been to zone 1, I don't play games, I don't play Dota and all of these things. But every time you go there, you just can't talk to people. You know why? Because if you have a Dota player there who's so engrossed with this game, that person is adhered closely to the computer screen. Kung ayaw mo mapaaway, huwag ka mang distorbo. You know what I'm talking about, right? Dota players here? This guy, nagsimula yan, maisip pa buhok niya, tingnan nyo ngayon. Sa kadodota, humaba na yung buhok. That is what it means to adhere closely. Parang Velcro ba? Parang Velcro. So 3,120 of them were devoted. They were devoted. 120 plus 3,000, 3,120 of them in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Imagine this for a while. This is what we call a mega church. This was a mega church. And this mega church right here, they were devoted. They continued steadfastly. When I was younger, in the ministry, I've encountered quite a number of people telling me, you don't want to pray for a large quantity in the church, because people will say, if you have a mega church that is not biblical, if you have a mega church that is not honoring God, because you're going to be ushering a lot of entertainment and all of these things. But I realized it is actually possible, based on the book of Acts chapter 2, and actually biblical, to have a mega church whose people are entirely devoted to the things of God. Alam niyo po, let me just tell you this as early as now. This is my prayer for all of us. Na pag sinabi natin devoted tayo, that we are adhered closely, that we continue steadfastly. Ang prayer ko po as a preacher, as a pastor is that hindi lang po yung pastor yung devoted. Hindi lang po yung mga victory group leaders. Hindi lang yung volunteers. Hindi lang yung mga leaders sa church. But all of us here in the 5 p.m. service are devoted to the things of God. Amen. Are you in faith for that? You know why? Because the question here is not whether or not you are devoted. Some of you here have been coming to church week in and week out, but I want you to understand that all of us here are devoted to something. Some of you are not devoted to something, but you're devoted to someone. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are so devoted to your social media. I know people are so devoted to their social media that every like matters. Every purchase will be geared towards getting more likes. So ang tanong po dito, is not whether you are devoted or not. You're devoted. Some of us are devoted to NBA, we're devoted to basketball, we're devoted to football, we're devoted to all of these things, we're devoted to our crafts, we're devoted to anything. But here's the question for us, what are we devoted to? Because the answer to that actually matters. The early church, yes, they were devoted the same way that we are devoted. But ang tanong po dito, saan sila devoted? And that is what we seek to look at here. We will look at the different marks of the early church. As we look at the marks of the early church, we will find out what the early church was devoted to. Asan ba yung devotion ng early church? So, the marks of the early church will serve as a blueprint for all of us. Do we have any engineers or architects in the house? A blueprint, as I understand it, I'm not an engineer, but a blueprint is something that you have to follow. Otherwise, if you don't follow a certain blueprint, it will cost you money. It will cost you time. So my prayer for all of us is this one. As we look at the blueprint of the early church, I hope and pray that every single thing that we're doing as a local church is in line with what they're doing. Because if we don't follow, these things can happen. Alam mo, pag akit mo, parang, Brad. Paano to, Brad? Baka baliling ka. Baka people will think, akit bahay ka. Or if not, you know, if you don't follow blueprint in restroom, can you imagine, Brad, excuse Brad, excuse Brad. Ang hirap niyan, you have to follow the blueprint. It is the same way with the church. It is the same way with the church. We have to follow the marks or the blueprint that the early church, by God's grace, by God's providence, that He has laid it out for all of us. At least a portion of what we've studied for this specific series is looking at the book of Tom Rainer, where he started talking about the autopsy of a deceased church. Tom Rainer is a researcher, he's an author, and he studied different churches that started closing down. Yung mga churches na wala nang nag-attend na tao, far be it for us to experience something like that. And they started what went wrong in churches like that. And I hope and pray that this will serve perhaps as a wake-up call for us as a local church. Allow me to outline a few things for a while. This is basically what we can find in the 7 verses that we have. And I have to be quick with this one kasi medyo marami to. First, we have to understand in verse 42 that the marks of the early church are these things. First, they were a learning church. Secondly, they were a relational church. They were a praying church. They were a generous or loving church. That church in Jerusalem was a worshiping church. It was an evangelizing or a preaching church. Ito po yung mark, ito po yung blueprint of what a church should look like. Some of you here, perhaps God will call to be a pastor in the future. So you have to take note of these things. As you endeavor to do ministry, you can pattern it into what happened in the early church in the book of Acts. So as we start looking into this, I want us to understand that there are two things for us to understand. Some of these things are prescriptive. When I say some of these things are prescriptive, this is something that we have to do. Some of these things are merely descriptive. It simply describes what happened in the early church. So we have to be careful with those two things. Not everything is prescriptive. Some of them are descriptive. Let's look at the first one. First, they were a learning church. Anyone here seated beside someone who looks intelligent? Come on now. Come on. Ayun. May mga graduate bang summa cum laude dito or cum laude? Ikaw ba, Mav, summa ka, di ba? Muntik, summa ka bilang buhay sa hirap ng engineering. But anyway, first mark of the church was they were a learning church. How do we understand that? Look at this one. How do we arrive to that conclusion? Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says here, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves, the 3,120 of them devoted themselves. They were locked in to the apostles' teaching. The word teaching here in this narrative in verse 42 at chapter 2, the word teaching here is the word didache, which means doctrine. So minsan, especially for us in the evangelical world, sometimes we're thinking if it's doctrine, parang nata-turn off ka kasi feeling mo para lang sa mga scholar yan. Take note of this one, doctrine simply means teaching. So pag sinabi nating doctrine, it simply means teaching. Now, the early church was devoted to the teachings of the apostles. So meaning to say it was something like that. Every time the apostles would open the Bible, the scriptures to them, they were all ears. They were all ears because they were so hungry for teaching. They were so hungry for God's word. Meaning to say, they can't get enough of it. You have to understand that during their time, they don't have the New Testament yet. So they were relying mainly on the teachings of the apostles. So when Peter says, all right, guys, let's gather together. I'm going to share something from the book of Ezekiel. And people are like, come on, let me get the front seat. People were so excited when it comes to the preaching of the word. What excites you to come to church? Is it because worship? These things are good. Worship is good, but at the end of the day, the central thing that we have to adhere into is the preaching of God's word, amen. That we have to adhere and be devoted into the teachings that we find in God's word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says here, for we did not follow cleverly devised myth when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sabi ng mga apostles, we ourselves are eyewitnesses. We ourselves are eyewitnesses of His majesty. So every time they start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, people were just all ears. What revival can happen in a certain church when people are devoted into the teachings that we find here in the pulpit. When we become so excited for the teachings, for preaching, we won't be doing something like that. Di ba kung nagpunta ka sa church para matulog, hindi sana itinulog mo na lang sa bahay yan. I hope and pray that we will be people who will not be uninterested when it comes to the teachings, when it comes to preachings. I got this in our vernacular language. It says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in Bisaya version. It says here, Og milahutay sila sa pagpaminaw sa pagtulunon gikan sa mga apostoles. And I asked some of our friends here in church what milahutay means. It simply means you persevere. Is it right? You persevere. You endure. Meron ba kayong ganun? Nagka-quiet time kayo? Nagbabasa kayo ng Bible? Kailangan mo mag-endure. Kasi what you're reading sometimes, you know, it's not always fun. It starts talking about numbers. It starts talking about this family, this family, this family, this family. Parang kailan mo matatapos to? 2 chapters, puro family? But sometimes you have to endure. Why? Because at the end of the day, these things are good for you. So the early church, everyone say the early church. The early church were hungry for God's word. They were hungry for God's word. Alam niyo po, for them, it doesn't matter who preaches. For them, it's not like, I like Peter. Huwag mo sabihin, huwag kay Thomas. They don't rely on the eloquence of whoever's teaching. As long as scripture is opened, they are all ears. What is the contemporary expression of this one? How does that apply to our lives right now as a local church here in Dumaguete? The contemporary expression of this is, of course, Bible reading for every believer and the centrality of preaching in the church. The centrality of preaching in the church. Because at the end of the day, friends, in order for the church to be edified, the word must be read and preached. Here's my question for you. When was the last time you read God's word? The preaching of the word here every single Sunday. You would understand this. Here's what I want to submit to you. You will find this out later, but I don't have the verse right here, this very junction. But Acts 46 verse 47 tells us that every day they have worship services. Day by day, they go to temple. So tayo po, we come here every Sunday. Diba? We come here every Sunday. Iba sa inyo, you come here every Sunday pag walang NBA, pag walang palabas sa TV, pag walang maganda sa Netflix. So that's the time we come here. I want you to understand here, preaching here, whether it's Storm or whoever or Jairo preaching here, these things will not suffice for your entire week's diet. You need to get into God's word yourself. Are you folks with me? The contemporary expression of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, apostles' teaching, is all of us 1,300 people attending Victory Dumaguete, getting into our Bibles every single day and not missing preaching every single Sunday. And we start talking about preaching, we're preaching the word and not just preaching about the word. Those are two different things. We have to open up scripture to them and explain what scripture says, what it is. Preaching is not just, today, let's talk about this certain topic and then we're going to supplement it with God's word. No, we preach God's word and everything else will be used as a supplement to aid the hearing of God's word. That is basically what we have here. In fact, how serious is this? For the apostles, all the first century apostles, they differentiated between ministry of the word and waiting on tables. They were like saying, I am an eyewitness of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am sorry, folks, but instead of being an usher, I will have to preach God's word. It is not to say that being an usher is not important. It's just that when it comes to the church, there has to be a centrality, there has to be a certain level of priority when it comes to preaching God's word and prayer. In fact, we find that in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it says here, 12 some of the full number of the disciples says that it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Kasi ang nangyayari, palaki ng palaki yung church. Habang lumalaki yung church, nagkakaroon ng problema sa church. Do you think may problema sa church? Nagkakaroon ba ng problema minsan sa church? Meron po minsan. Naubusan ng tinapay, naubusan ng tissue sa CR. Di ba? Minsan kayo nagre-reklamo kayo, wala ng tissue, ganun. Parang ano ba naman itong simbahan na to? When those things happened, the disciples were like, lagyan natin ng tissue, lagyan natin ng ganito, lagyan. But they realized, wait a second, wait. If we keep doing this, paano yung ministry of God's word? Because eventually, what will keep people going is when they are fed with God's word. Are you folks with me? And their solution to that was that they said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of God's word. So here's another question for us when it comes to teachings, when it comes to doctrines. Why should we not cut down on doctrines? Let me just say it this way. By all means, cut down on sugar. Cut down on your carb. Cut down on your red meat. But never cut down on doctrines. Never cut down on teachings. Never cut down on this. You know why? You know why? Let me give you a good reason why. Because your life right now is just a reflection or a summary of your doctrine. So, it gives us a picture that lahat po tayo, meron po tayong doctrine, meron tayong in-embrace na teaching. All of us here. So, yung life mo ngayon, kung gaano man minsan kagulo or ka-okay yung life mo ngayon, is just a summary or a reflection of the things that you are embracing. So, pagka-Christian ka, tapos ang worldview mo is not biblical, tapos that's what you're starting to live out. Are folks with me? So your life right now, your situations right now, is a reflection of your doctrine, the things that you embrace. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says here, but what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. So when you start talking about the how-tos in life, perhaps, the how-tos in life, how do I become a good husband? Any husband in this house? Can I see your hand? Has that ever occurred to you? You're thinking about, parang, ano ba talaga? Tama ba yung happy wife, happy life? Yung bang turo sa Bible? Guess what? Hindi po turo sa Bible yan. But there are certain things that you can find in the book of Genesis chapter 2 that gives you idea that your work as a man is to work and keep the garden, work and keep every relationship in the family. When you start having that as a doctrine, you embrace it, then you start living it out. Kasi pag lagi mo in-embrace, happy wife, happy life, so anong gagawin mo? Lagi mo pagsisilbihan si misis. So you feel like, pag hindi ko ginawa to, so magkaka-trouble sa bahay. That is unbiblical. My point here is this one. We will not get things right if we don't get our doctrines right. So lahat po tayo, meron kayong pinanghahawakan ng doctrine. Iba sa inyo, doctrines nyo since grade 3 pa kayo. Narealize mo, parang hindi pala to biblical. Superstition pala yan. Diba, inanay ko, pagtapong ko ng damit sa lalagyan ng maruming damit, ano ba yan, Archie? Dapat balik ta rin mo. Kasi malas. Parang, what? So our doctrines are things that we basically live out. Derek Thomas says, the mold for Christ's likeness that God uses is the word of God. For the parents here, sometimes there are, other than the Bible, there are things that can help us. When you start even talking about catechism, you start teaching your kids, who is God? And you start explaining that to your kids, and you start getting into God's word. There are commentaries for that and all of these things, because these things are important. There is a current trend that's happening in the church, current trend. Is there anyone here who is 21 years old below? Can I see your hand? You're 21 years old. Yung totoo, ah, wag yung mga sinungaling. 21 years old below ka. Ilan lang? 21 years below? So mga estudyante to. 21 years. So marami. 21 years below. Meron pa akong sasabihin sa inyo for the parents here who might be parents of 21 years old and below. Your kids are heavily online, is it right? There's a current trend that's happening in the church right now, and I feel like this is dangerous. And the current trend teaches us that there is a growing anti-intellectualism. That's number one. Number two is there is a pursuit of entertainment and excitement for the sake of relevance, and eventually that will hurt the church if we forsake teaching. Minsan sa isang church, di bale lang yung preaching, 15 minutes lang, basta cool tayo, cool. Dapat tattered jeans. You know what I'm talking about? Church has become entertainment. Church has become a clubhouse. The other one is anti-intellectualism. It's actually a culture among Filipinos. Pagka, if you say something about what you've learned, people will laugh at you, parang, oh, grabe ya, bay. Sobra ka bright, bay. You know what I'm talking about? People don't want to study anymore. People would rely on so-called preachers that would preach the gospel to them or preach something to them. What if, God forbid that this will happen, what if I preach something to you that is not found in God's word? Because you yourself don't get into God's word and you're like, oh, come on, let's do that. Hindi mo na malayan, you belong to a Christian cult na pala. A lot of people are being deceived because of these current trends. I want you to understand this. If you're here for experience, for excitement, guess what? These things will dissipate. Don't substitute God's word for experience. Why? Because excitement will dissipate, but the word of God will get you to fight another day. You need God's word in you. Tell your seatmate forever, you need God's word in you. Sabi mo, especially you. The other one that we find here, relational church. Look at this one. It says here, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. The word fellowship here is the Greek word koinonia, which simply means common. So fellowship pala, when you say fellowship, it simply means there's something common between the two of us. What's common between the two of us? What's common between you and me and Ronel? What's common between us? Yes, good looks is one. The other one is that we share a common faith. We share a common faith. Haven't you noticed that? Well, at least this happens to me. When I was a student, and I would be with my classmates, with my friends, I enjoy stuff with my barkada. We would eat together. But I can't wait for Sunday. I always feel like, man, I can't wait for Sunday because I'm going to be with people in the church. Why? Because there's a commonality, a fellowship between me and them, and it brings about encouragement in my life. What united such a diverse, multi-ethnic, sobrang multi-ethnic ng church ito? This is not like a black church, a white church, a church for students. No, this is a multi-ethnic church. What basically kept them together or bonded them together? Common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no fellowship when there is no commonality of faith. And for them, the reason why they get to have fellowships is because of the common faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that, apart from your victory groups perhaps, that when we come together, example, no, pag ako kasama ko si Hans, pag kasama ko si Mav, na-encourage ako, kahit magtitigan lang kami. Titigan, hindi kami mag-uusap. Have you had fellowships like that? Of course, not in victory, right? Madaldal yung mga tao dito. But, halimbawa, kasama ko si Mav, titigan lang kami. Pero yung magandang titig, hindi yung parang titig na may malis, ha? So, titigan lang ako. Alam niyo mangyayari? Ma-encourage ako agad kahit wala siyang sinasabi. Alam niyo bakit? Kasi lahat po tayo, in a greater capacity, we bear God's image. In a greater capacity, we bear God's image. That's why we exude a sense of fellowship whenever we come together. That's why for people to say, ah, okay lang to, I will be with this group of people, nothing bad will happen to me, and you're getting it all wrong. I don't think so. You always need to be part of a fellowship. Ito po yung reason kung bakit we encourage all of you to be part of a victory group. Anyone here is part of a victory group? You're part of a victory group. Can I see your hand? Paki-encourage nga yung seatmate mo. Parang mag-victory group ka naman. Sige nga, paki-encourage. Okay lang yan. Sabihan mo, mag-victory group ka naman. Here's another thing. Pag magkasama kami ni Junri, halimbawa, lagi kami magkasama ni Junri, because we talk about relationships, nagkakaroon rin tayo ng tension. Yung mga Christians, nagkakaroon rin ng alitan. Tama ba? Sino sa inyo you became a Christian, parang wala ka ng issue sa buhay? Di ba marami pa rin tayong issue sa buhay? Di ba? Yung katabi mo ngayon, marami issue yan. So kami ni Junri, if we come together, we always rub off each other. Sa relationship, magkakaroon ng tension. So, pag merong tension, halimbawa, nagkaroon ng opportunities to be offended. Oh, hindi nag-reply. Di ba? Tapos, yung kasama mo, tinext niya, nag-reply sa kanya, nakuyari na, away na to. Di ba? Kumain kayo sa labas, fellowship daw, siya nagyaya, lakas magyaya, sa Diyos ina to. Tapos, nag-CR, nung bayaran na. Labo na mag-ninja ng taong to. We will encounter tension, but medical practitioners here, doctors, nurses, you know what a synovial fluid is, right? Synovial fluid is the rubbing, the friction between the bones. I know that's not the right way to say it, but it's something like that. But for us, what will ease the tension between us, of course, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kaya kong patawarin si Junrey. Kaya kong patawarin ni Junrey kasi pareho kami ng sineserve na Lord. They were a relational church. Kasi po, pag hindi po tayo relational, if we don't believe in fellowship, matagal na tayo nag-church split. Matagal na nag-plant ng ibang church si Mav. Pwedeng sa tabi, sa kabilang function hall. Sa dami ba naman na, di ba bro, marami tayong mga pinag-usapan na rin. But we understand that, you know, we have a common faith. So meaning, if we have a common faith, we can always sort things out. And I don't have to gossip about him to other people, most especially in social media, na parang blind item. I have an office mate. I have someone. The other one was that they were a praying church. They were a praying church. It says here, they devoted themselves to prayers as well. They were devoted themselves to prayers as well. Hindi po tayo magsusurvive pag walang prayer. Amen? Kailangan po na, we need to pray as a church. Tom Rainier says, when the early Jerusalem church devoted themselves to prayer, they were doing a lot more than reading names off a list. They were fervent, intense, and passionate about prayer. According to Matt Chandler, he says, hell quakes at the prayerfulness of men. Amen? So when we start praying, something happens basically. There's another thing that I want us to understand. But it also says there, they didn't just pray, but they also broke bread. They also broke bread. Ever say broke bread? Yung broke bread po, ang tawag dun, Last Supper, that was basically what happened. Right now, we call that our communion. In fact, in Christian doctrine, Christian teaching, that is called a sacrament. But this is not the same sacrament, seven sacraments that you have in the Roman Catholic Church. This is a sacrament that simply means it is something sacred. When you say sacrament, this is a means of grace that Jesus himself told us to do. And we only have two sacraments in the Christian church. One is baptism and the other one is communion. You know, Augustine says on sacraments, it is an outward visible sign of an inward invisible grace. Again, inward invisible grace. Another one is this one. Ito, perhaps this is your favorite for tonight. Tamang-tama kasi almost seven na. The other one is generous church. They were a generous church. Anyone here who's seated beside someone who looks generous? O sino sa inyo dito, masasabi mo talaga na generous kang tao? Generous ka talaga? Come on na. Sino yung generous dito? Ayan. Wow, daming generous sa church na to. Alam niyo po, yung generosity is a mark of true Christianity. Totoo po yun. So pag ikaw stingy ka, iba po yung frugal sa stingy. Ha? Pag ikaw stingy ka masyado, hindi ka giving. Pag hindi ka giving, ibig sabihin taga-kuha ka lang lagi. Alam niyo, parang every time may tao, parang ang mindset mo lagi, libre, 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 libre. You know what I'm talking about? If that is your mindset, it gives you a state of your heart. Because forgiven people are generous people. Forgiven people are generous people. Acts 2:44, it says here, all who believe were together. Pag sinabing were together, they were not together in one place. 3,000 yan, hindi po kasya sa isang bahay yan. It simply means to say, they were in one accord. They have one agreement. At yung agreement nila, let me just fast track, yung agreement nila was that, pag merong someone who is in need, we will come to the rescue. It's like before this person thinks of loans, before this person thinks of other things, I hope and pray that the first group of people who will come to the rescue will be people in the church. How do we go about that? Tanong. Ask questions. Bro, enrolled ka na ba? Ah, hindi pa nga enrolled kasi medyo sabit sa ako ni daddy. Medyo late yung sweldo. Oh, then mental note. As person, ah bro, kumain ka na ba? As the guard, kumain ka na ba sir? Alam niyo yung parang, humana. Pero alam mong gutom na gutom. Madidiscern mo naman yan eh. Bila muna natin sa garahe grills. You know what I'm talking about? Tanong lang po yan. Observing lang po yan sa sobrang busy natin sa church. Tingnan niyo po, perhaps there's someone who needs a ride home. Gasuli na lang po yung puhunan, makakarating na sa bahay yung churchmate mo. Perhaps there's someone who just needs your old shirt, old shoes. Generosity is a mark of our forgiveness. This is my prayer. I pray that we will always be a generous church. Amen? That we will always be a generous church. Let me just fast track. The other one was that they were a worshiping church. A few more things and we're going to end. Worshiping church, you know sila? How do they know that? Look at this one. It says here, verse 46 to 47. Look at this one. Day by day. Everybody say, day by day. Crazy. Look at that. Day by day, they attend temple together. Can you imagine you coming here every single day? Our worship team will faint. But for them, that was how eager they were. Basta worship services, non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. So let me just issue this as a question for all of us. Is worship negotiable to you? Your answer to that gives me a picture of what you value in life. Because if worship is negotiable to you, then guess what, friends? It will lead to another question that asks, is Jesus negotiable to you? I want you to understand that your quiet time will not suffice. Your quiet time will not suffice. You need to come together as a congregation, non-negotiable. For the dads here, the moms here, if your kids will grow up, listen to this, if your kids will grow up with wonderful memories of family travels and adventures, but void of memories in the church, that, my friend, is a tragedy. And I want you to understand that it is your doing. It is your responsibility. Paul Tripp says, you can't be sanctified apart from community. Our individualistic culture right now would tell us, okay lang ako hindi mag-church, live stream na lang. We were offered that by Sky Cable to live stream our services for free 4 years ago. We didn't agree to that because we want people to come here every Sunday and experience what an authentic community is. That far be it from us to restore to VR church. Virtual reality church. You choose your song. You choose the face of your pastor. Wala na po. Ito na lang talaga. Sorry na lang. Pagtsagaan nyo. Choose the jeans of your pastor. Choose the face of the worship leader. And you try to engineer everything and then you start worshiping. And this is never about us. We come to church not to get, but we come to church to give. This is not a clubhouse. This is the house of the Lord. We come together to worship God. If you're here and it has been a habit of you to miss church services every single Sunday, I don't say this often, but think about it. Think about what you're doing in your life right now. Kasi po, naisip ko lang, pagka-recital ng anak mo yan, pagka-football, pagka-basketball, kahit pa sa Iloilo yan, pupuntahan mo yan. Ito po, Spanish Heritage lang, 20 minutes from your place, 1.5 hours to worship God corporately. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more you see the day drawing near. Alam niyo po, ang sarap ng victory group ko last Thursday. Sobrang saya. Kasi po, we were together. Ito po yung nangyari. Naubos ko pong mag-isa yung kape. Sabi ko, asan na kayo? I'm just kidding. Of course, they had their valid reasons. I hope this encourages all victory group leaders here in this house. Alam niyo po, hindi ko maintindihan. Ngayon na pastor na ako, ganyan pa rin yung situation. Kasi when I was a campus missionary, there were a lot of victory groups in the campuses. Guess what? Mine was the smallest. There were just 3 of us every single Thursday. Tapos nag-backslide pa yung isa. Lord, ano ba to? Is there something wrong with me? Ito mo to ngayon. Saya ng victory group ko. Nagpa-picture na lang ako kay Ronel. Yung guard natin, Ronel, pakipicturean nga ako. Para naman ma-encourage ako ng konti. Yan yung report ko. Kaya hindi ako nagpo-post ng report. Last one is evangelizing church, preaching church. Why? Because it says here, day by day, people were added to them. People will not be added if there's no one preaching. So if you preach, people will be added. People will have a relationship with God. It says here, in dying churches, the last expenditures to be reduced are those that keep the members most comfortable. Yun yung mga nangyari sa church sa North America. Kung ang goal ko as a pastor is to always make you feel comfortable, who am I can honestly say that the past, how many weeks, sobrang init sa center na to. But if our goal here is to always keep us comfortable, then if we are too comfortable, we will no longer do the things of God. God has called us to go out there and not to worship convenience, not to worship comfort, but embrace this comfort and be inconvenient as we start preaching God's word. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The imperative in these verses is go. But as we go, there are several sub-commands, which is to make disciples, to be baptized, and we are to teach. Join me in prayer for all.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.